The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, October 4th. It's spooky season, and we got a bunch of shit to talk about, including we're going to talk basketball stuff, but we also have the most anticipated segment in podcast history in North America. We are doing a dinosaur cook-off later in the show, so stick around for that for sure. As always, Jenkins and Jones hosted by my dear friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, have a good.
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
And I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And it is spooky season, and John has joined us, Tyler.
Finally, I saw the ghost emojis. He's a spooky bitch ghost? Just like us now.
Hey, I wanted to be, when you said spooky bitch, I'm like, that's all me, bro. You know, I love the sus shit. I love the sus shit. That's where I exist in that, you know what I mean? But yeah, I thought about saying Lebowski, Big Lebowski, but I'm not there yet. Maybe next year. I'll add that, you know what I'm saying, to the LeBoo, but anyway, we all here together with it.
I realized that we could use Twitter to do Simpsons Treehouse of Horror spooky names for ourselves, I have never looked back. I've been doing that ever since.
For sure. I fucking love spooky season, though, like on some real shit. Like, it's not a gimmick. I love fucking this month, bro.
It's the best.
It is.
Maya entered the world this month. You know what I mean? It's a great month, top to bottom, bro. You got the best movies, you got the best food, you got the best sports. Like, it's perfect.
To me, it was always just like a speed bump to Christmas. That's how I felt. You know what I mean? Like that. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I just never been a jack-o'-lantern ass nigga. Like I said on Twitter, I just always, you know, this was like the little. Let me get through this, and then it's Christmas season, and I could get my shit. You know what I mean? So that's how I thought.
It's kind of the opposite with me because, like, when I think of Halloween, I have nothing but good memories about, like, you know, being fucking a kid and shit, right? Like there's some weak-ass memories I got about Christmas, like taking three-hour road trips to Pennsylvania and wearing weak-ass sweaters for Christmas dinners and shit. Like, there's some bad memories associated with those seasons for me, but there's no bad memories with Halloween for me, bro. They're all good.
I mean, that makes sense. I just never, like, I mean, I stopped dressing up in, like, middle school. You know what I mean? Like, like sixth grade, I wasn't, elementary, I didn't have costumes or none of that shit. You know what I mean? Like, I was just scaring the other little kids by pretending like I was, like, a scarecrow or some shit. You know what I mean? In a chair. Like, you know what I mean? So,
Halloween was always my favorite holiday. We had, once we were too old to trick or treat, we had the ghettoist fucking setup where, when you walked up to my door, my bedroom window was on your left. And so we put a life-size Freddy Krueger cutout there. And my brother and I would just yank the fucking blind cord down. So, like, you know what I mean? It would be like, wah!
Last time I dressed up, shit, it was about 10 years ago. And me and my homies dressed up as NWA. And we, like, you know, went bar.
Who are you?
Shit. I was Eazy-E. Of course, you know, I was like the shortest one. I had the little Jerry curl. I'll see if I can find that picture. I think I posted it on TwitPic and the fucking internet.
Did.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, I think the internet ate TwitPic, but we'll see if I can find that shit.
Christmas and Thanksgiving are cool when you have a kid, bro. But having a kid, your perspective on the month of October is going to change for sure, bro. It's the fucking, it's the best. You remember 2 years ago, me and Vinny went as Miles Morales and Peter Parker?
Yeah. I remember that.
We got a costume. We got a father-son costume this year that I'm very excited about. I'll post that shit at the end of the month. I'm fired up for it.
Big reveal at the end of the month.
This is a teaser.
I'll keep it a stack with y'all. I've probably been like dressing like rappers like since like middle school. So like I've been wearing that same flannel shit. I was wearing that from like sixth grade to eighth grade when I was, you know, going like I would go trick or treating, but I just wouldn't dress up. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I spend half the time, like I said, scaring kids. But
I would bet so much money you are a. I would dress up as whatever my baby wants me to dress up as to take her trick or treating.
You might catch me in a tutu next year,
100%,
bro.
100%. Yeah.
I don't give a fuck, nigga.
I mean, you guys know Char's personality. Maya wants to be a unicorn, and so she wanted Char to be a princess, to be the princess with the unicorn. And Char is not a. princess ass.
But she's tapping in, though.
But she already got her princess dress and her crown.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
I was able to find that NWA picture I was talking about. I'm about to post it in the group chat.
All right, for sure. All right, let's talk about sports.
Sportsing.
Obviously, we're an NBA pod, but we have to talk about Urban Meyer, you dirty dog.
Urban, what the fuck?
Zigging where we thought he was going to zag. We thought he was going to fake another heart issue to get out of Jacksonville to get to Southern California. But he's taking a different route.
That old sly fox. Urban, you tricky bastard, you. Right? Like, all jokes aside, I legit think he's like, yo, I can't do the bad health thing anymore. It felt like he was setting the scene. With those quotes that leaked like last week, like this is hurting my heart. I was like, oh no, here we fucking go again. But I feel like he's trying to go the shitty husband angle to do the whole, I need to take some time off to be with my family. And then he's going to get that call from USC and be like, okay, this has sparked the fire in me to work again. Right? I for sure think that's how this shit is going to shake down. And Urban, we're on to you, bro.
Listen, there's more sex addiction recovery places per capita in Southern California than anywhere else in the world. You know what I mean? So, a video leaked.
What was that HBO show about the dude who was addicted to Californication, right?
With
Scully or Mulder.
With Mulder.
Yeah.
For those who have not seen the video, a video came out of Urban Meyer with a woman who is not his wife, grinding on him at a...
Not the wife of his youth.
Yes!
Callback for your ass.
This is a fucking great picture. All right, for sure. I love that. Okay, so Urban, you dirty dog. Let's talk about Ben Simmons' bank account. The 76ers owed Ben Simmons an $8.25 million payout last Friday. That's 25% of his contract. And because of the current situation where he is not going to be a 76er, they did not give him the $8.25 million. They put that money in an escrow account. How much does this change your opinion of the situation? Or does it not when you see the number $8.25 million?
That 8.25 hasn't disappeared. It's been placed on hold. So, you know, now if it disappeared, we'd be having a whole different conversation. But it seems like Ben Simmons is leaning into the petty. Like, did you see that fan Instagram, that Sixers fans Instagram that posted a breakdown of all the money that he'd lose during the season if he sat out? And Ben Simmons liked that shit. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw the breakdown. I see he liked it, though. That breakdown was crazy.
Yeah, he liked it. Like, bro, I saw it on Twitter. I thought it was fake. I went to the fucking Instagram page, and there was "liked by Ben Simmons." Right? I was like, God damn! Like, look, he's leaning all the way into the petty here, bro. And I think that I don't think he'll be stupid enough to lose that 8.25. Right? I think he'll fucking suck it up if it has to come to that. But right now, man, it's just a petty off right now, and Ben seems locked in.
I mean, there's a difference between petty and $8.25 million. Yeah.
That's not petty cash.
That's not petty at all. That becomes ignorance, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, buddy, it ain't worth it. So, yeah, like, I love the fun, but for me, looking at that numbers, I don't get a dollar out of that shit, and that made my stomach cramp up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I had the exact same response, and it's just like, look, we are capitalist little bitches raised in a capitalist country, and I just can't, like, it changes my brain chemistry when I see 825 in escrow.
with an M, bro. You know what I mean?
Not with like, but with
we talking about him. You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, 8.25 is a whole lot of fucking money, right? Of course.
Yes.
But is it a whole lot of money to a $200 million dude like Ben? You know what I mean?
I
like,
just can't. Bro, I'm not a $200 million dude, right, so I don't know, right, bro.
That's a lot of money not coming in to my bank account on a fucking Thursday or some shit, bro. I'm like, I'm just thinking about like me looking at my account and 8.25 not being there. Hey, like, I'm calling everybody, bro. President got to talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Biden, I need you on the phone. You feel what I'm saying?
Our check from the Volume Podcast Network hit my account last Thursday, and I checked that shit at 8:00:00 and it is 1/1,000,000th the amount of money. Yeah.
here's what I liken it to in layman terms, in terms of the poors. Like, have you ever just
the brokies?
Yeah. If we can look at this
in terms of the usses.
Yes, if we can look at this through a brokey perspective. Have you ever just flat out no call, no show, quit a job, and you had like PTO saved up, and you're like, I don't give a fuck about getting paid out for that. Just get me the fuck out of here. Like, I've done that before. You know, I've left like a week's worth.
I need my PTO. Run me all of mine.
Yeah, I've left all of my dollars. I've left like a week's worth of PTO at one job because I didn't give a fuck. I just needed to get the fuck out, and I feel like this is kind of. It's not similar at all because it's 8.25 million.
A week's worth of PTO? That's like $400, dog.
Yeah, exactly. But $400
especially at that age, like younger,
when I was broke.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, come on, bro. $400 is a big deal, but 8.25 of them dang, nigga, of them M's? Like, nigga, bro, this ain't PTO time, and I'm gonna be a keeping straight with you. I need my PTO time. Pay me out every fucking penny of that shit. I gotta go, and I need to bring my PTO money with me too. Cash me out. So 8.25, that's some talking about spooky season. That's a spooky amount of money not in your motherfucking bank account, nigga.
But it is
for real in this motherfucker.
Because it was like watching a Scooby-Doo episode for me. Right. You know what I mean? I'm like. Absolutely, the principles of professionalism rant that Tyler had, like 100%, fuck the Sixers, you know? And then that 8.25 came in like the fucking ghost, and I turned into Scooby-Doo. You know what I mean? Like,
we gotta go to work, Scrappy. Scrappy-Doo, let's go to work. You feel me? I need that 8.25, you feel me? God damn, gee.
In addition to spooky season, it's also I'll do whatever the team needs season for the Los Angeles Lakers. And I wanted to ask you guys, because this Lakers team is unique. Guys our age, fans our age, grew up with all these dudes. And I don't think there's ever been an NBA roster that you'd say you knew the characters on the team better than this Lakers team, right? That team photo looked like a... It looked like an all-star photo from when we were,
like a draft,
25
like
years
a draft,
old or whatever.
You know what I'm saying? Like the NBA draft, like picture they take, yeah.
So here's my question. Bron said he sees an energy shift. Carmelo saying he'll serve whatever role the team wants. Rondo said at Media Day last week, if he needs to play 40 minutes a game or sit 40 games in a row, he's there for whatever the team needs. Russ has obviously talked about, I understand I'm going to need to have a different role with this team. It's the season to say that. Do you believe those guys? Do you believe that's going to work when we're playing and it's January 15th, and these dudes, they're a little sick of each other or they're in a stressful game and you really only can't have one guy take the lead? Do you really believe it's going to work the way they're talking about it working right now?
Yes, I absolutely do. I absolutely do because I think that players – in Bron, they trust. They know if you lock in and you play ball in Bron's vision, you're going to get a fucking ring. I mean, if Bron turned J.R. Smith into a worthwhile playoff contributor, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, until.
But that third quarter in game 7, bro, they probably don't win the ring without without those like 8 points from J.R. in that quarter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that players genuinely, I don't think that's just, cliche talk. I think they genuinely believe that, yo, if we lock into this and we play our parts and we kind of play ball in the vision that Bron has, envisioned for us, we'll get a ring. And I do think that they're not just saying that shit. I think that Russ and Melo are being truthful here.
I think, like, when you look at the team, it kind of reminds you of 2004 a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it's not 2004. You know what I mean? Like, nobody likes fucking Karl Malone. Fuck that nigga. You know what I mean? Like, all right. You know, GP was kind of old. You know what I mean? But GP still had a little bit in him. You feel what I'm saying? I don't think, Russ is to that point that GP was at an end. And then Kobe and Shaq didn't like each other at that point. You know what I mean? But these players like each other. You know what I mean? With all that said, I have zero idea what happens in a big game, in a must-win situation, and motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? And it's time to, like, you know, get some buckets and, you know, do people go to what they are have been used to doing their entire careers? You know what I'm saying? Does Russ put his head down, like, in the – does Russ in the moment have the composure to be like, you know what I mean? This ain't my moment. You know what I mean? You know, I don't know. I do think so. Like, I agree with what Tyler said. But, you know, I'm not as certain as he is. But I think, like, throughout the season, yeah, you know, in big moments, that's when I worry a little bit. You know what I mean? That's the only time I really think that they can it can get off the tracks a little bit. You feel me?
Yeah, I think I believe some of them more than I believe others. I 100% believe Carmelo Anthony is there to be a veteran leader, to play with his friend LeBron, to be LeBron's other guy in the locker room, you know, and that I believe Carmelo will embrace. I mean, if you've been listening to his interviews too, it's like this is the epilogue, if you will, to his career, right? And he wants a ring out of it. He wants the but like
Let's hope it's a Clint Smith epilogue and not a normal epilogue. You feel what I'm saying?
Yes.
Let's get a real one in here. You know what I'm saying?
He feels like he put his career in and that arc was almost kind of finished is the feeling that I have. And so he's here to, you know, to – but Russ – and Russ is – you know, Tyler and I are of the same mind. Russ is one of my five favorite basketball players ever. I love Russell Westbrook. But I don't know that I believe that if he – if he takes an ill-advised shot at the end of a game, first of all, I can see him doing that absolutely, right? And I don't necessarily know that I believe that if there's heat in the locker room afterwards that he would love that.
I want
to see the best version because I'm a Lakers fan. But it's the same thing with Rondo. If you're really saying Rondo, if Vogel tells you we need you to sit 40 games in a row, you're really telling me you're going to be like, cool, let me make sure that Bazemore is, you know, let me rebound for Malik Monk. You know what I mean? I just don't, I don't know that I believe that.
A man that spit in another man's face. I don't know if I believe that. You know what I mean? I do think, like, you know, I like you said, I believe certain people, but like, yeah, Rondo more than Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? I believe Westbrook way more. I think Rondo would be more of an issue if he were to sit out like 8 games, especially big games that need to be won. I don't see him being cool with not being in there playing. It's just not how he's built, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying? He wants to get out there and be a dog and do dog shit. You know what I'm saying? But with this roster, you know, do we need him to do that?
You have multiple Hall of Famers coming off the bench. You literally can't start all the Hall of Famers.
Right. So
you know what I mean? So it's gonna be unique. All right. Last word. Obviously, we spent the last episode we had Matt Sullivan on for a very long conversation about vaccination in the NBA. That's pretty much the only thing that was discussed throughout media day all of last week. So we're going to leave the lid on that can of worms, I think, going forward. I did want to point out that the vaccination rate among NBA players is now up to 95%. So as always, and I think this is the case with America as well, when you talk to public health officials, there's some really loud voices that get a lot of headlines and a lot of attention. But most of the people you're talking to are in the middle of the two polar extremes on any subject. And as I think Jason Concepcion said, we'd be in a much better spot as a country if America was as vaccinated as the National Basketball Association at this point. So
Tyler, you said we were sitting at 51% on the group chat, right? We still around.
We're at 51%, like 170 million or something.
So we could, and you know, that's not to obviously, I think it was, I appreciated having the conversation last week. We received a variety of feedback to the conversation.
We knew though, we weren't blindsided by it. We knew 100%. We were going into a shitstorm, so.
But I would point out, you know, you absolutely could have headlines that's like, why won't America follow the example of the NBA? 95% vaccinated. So
right.
FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Monday Night Football this week is Chargers-Raiders. The Raiders are on a roll, but as a longtime Chargers season ticket holder when they were in San Diego, I always have a rooting interest in that one, even though I'm not necessarily a Chargers fan. So I will be making a same game parlay with the Chargers to win. I've got Herbert playing well, scoring a lot of points. So I'll take the over, and I'm going to take Herbert's passing yard props to make my three leg same game parlay. And I'll get better odds than I would have by taking the Chargers spread or money line. However, same game parlay is not the only reason I love betting on all the NFL action with FanDuel Sportsbook. They've also got fast payouts, it's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and it's America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling like nailing a same game parlay bet, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J&J, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code JANJ. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Moving on. I'm very excited about this. Hold on. Just give me a second.
Hold on.
Yeah, oh. Let's go.
The motherfucking paleontologist bucket.
Yes, I love this so much. Oh my God, that's great. That is so
live
good.
From the Hell Creek Formation in North Dakota. It's the first dinosaur cook-off show brought to you by the Marmarth Research Foundation, the only cooking show that combines our love of dinosaurs with our love of being ignorant. I'm very excited. Let's meet our contestants. Each of us will be preparing three entrees featuring dinosaur meats. First of all, he is literally a grill master. He is the only justification for having a Twitter account. Tyler, welcome to the Dinosaur Cook-Off Show. Say hi.
Happy to be here, man. I'm ready to cook, as the kids say.
The baddest male bitch on Twitter.
Coming I will take live. That. I will
Los
take
Angeles,
that.
California. John, welcome
by
to the
way
show.
Of St. Louis. By way of St. Let's not forget the center of my universe. You feel me?
Mike, before we go any so deeper, man, I think you owe the audience a little, you know, dive into your paleontologist efforts in the past.
I am your host, Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And
contestant.
Yes, and host/contestant. I have spent multiple summers of my life on dinosaur digs. That is something I had a chance to do quite some time ago in the Hell Creek Formation of Montana and North Dakota. And so I love talking about dinosaurs. I have dinosaur fossils in the other room. This is literally like combining Tyler and I's top interests. We've got dinosaurs and grilling meats. Before we get into, everyone has three entrees we prepared. And then, if our producers are in a mental state / parenting state to do so, they will serve as judges for the cook-off show. Let's first talk about what dinosaurs tasted like, because obviously that's going to factor into the way that you would think about what we're talking about. The first thing I would say is that when you eat birds, you are literally eating dinosaurs. Birds are the last delicious living theropods on the planet Earth. So you're literally, it's like a chicken. A chicken is a theropod. It is a dinosaur. So not descended from, is literally the same branch on the tree. So, crocodiles, crocodilians, which includes alligators, also share a common ancestor with dinosaurs, and they also kind of taste like chicken. So if you're thinking about what they tasted like, crocodiles, gamier meat like duck, dark meat, that's probably what we're looking at with dinosaurs. Mm. Obviously, the size and the activity level and the amount of muscle is not comparable to a Tyrannosaurus Rex. So that's where the difference comes in.
But also, let's think about New Orleans. Okay? Because, like, if you go to New Orleans, those gator burgers, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Like, when we went there, like, when I saw the, that's what made me really think about what they tasted like. Like, I've wondered sometimes, but when they said that on Twitter, like that post about they found a new dinosaur, and I'm looking at that bitch, I'm like, yo, that motherfucker looks astounding. Yeah. I would love to throw that bitch on a grill. You feel what I'm saying? So, like, let's think New Orleans. Let's think about those, you know what I'm saying, those meals we've had there. I think most people have been there. So, like, you know, people wondering, like, I think that, no, nigga, like, you can, New Orleans has figured ways to make gators good. You know, we could do the same. You feel what I mean?
First time I had gator was when I was in New Orleans, when we were there, what, 2012, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had the gator bites, which was like, you know, popcorn gator. And I was like, God damn, this is delicious. I was like, this tastes like if popcorn chicken and calamari fucked. You know what I mean? I was like, this is the best combination of worlds that I have ever tasted. So, yes, I think a dinosaur would absolutely be fucking delicious.
Yeah, so when we talk about dinosaur meat, we can't talk about that without talking about New Orleans. You feel what I'm saying?
For sure.
Would you eat if someone came out today and said they have successfully engineered, like, woolly mammoth meat or dinosaur meat? Would you buy that? Or would the fact that it was, like, a laboratory creation freak you out?
I think we'd have to get some generations deep into the breeding, probably. You know what I'm saying? Before I hop out there, I don't want some shit fresh out the lab. You know what I'm saying? I need some shit about goddamn, you know, 30, 40 generations deep where y'all are real life fucking, not some test tube, you know, manipulation shit. Yeah.
If they're just making the meat like on some, like, you know, impossible meat,
they're
shit,
3D
no.
printing. They're
you
3D
feel me? I don't want
steak.
That. Right. I want the shit. I want the animal. You know what I mean? Yeah. I want them to make the animal and then cut the meat off that motherfucker. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
If we get to spend $1 billion to create a T-Rex, then you want them to put that bolt through the back of its skull and kill it.
Stegosaurus. Stegosaurus.
If we get to the point where we've got, like, woolly mammoth ranches, if we get free range woolly mammoths and shit, like, yeah, sign me up for that, but not the lab shit.
I don't know
shit,
if
you know
I'm eating a woolly mammoth though. I don't know, but the dinosaurs, for some reason, those are the ones, like, you know, that's what really, you know, tickles my fancy, tickles, you know what I mean?
All right. How should we do this? Should we each present our three, or should we go 1-1-1-2-2-2-3-3-3?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we should probably do all three.
That's what I'm thinking.
I agree.
We ain't got to make it too complicated.
There
okay,
you go.
Oh, progressive. Oh, wow. So we, okay.
Jackson's bringing culture to the podcast. I didn't even, he's a progressive menu, and I was like, this is a real high vax rate with the menu.
I mean, he used Tenable. He's been a progressive menu as,
where he's a college boy.
He can't, you know, he
All right, so shows Tyler goes first, or do we end with Tyler? Tyler has to go first or last.
Let's start with Tyler, and then we'll know if we even need to go.
Okay, okay.
You know what
Tyler,
I mean?
Give us
if
your,
the grill
your
master
three,
just drops
entrees.
Them off, you know?
Okay. All right, so first I want to give you guys a little bit of a dive into my rationale here on how I reached the decision on my entrees. So, you know, doing some thinking, I was like, what type of dinosaurs would be the most delicious? I think you got to go herbivores, right? Because I think that, you know, if you look at the livestock, at the meats that we eat herbivores, you know, cows, chicken, you know, pigs are fucking omnivores, but the pigs we eat, they don't get fed meat, right? So we're eating herbivore pigs too. So I leaned into that. And then, you know, I thought about, what's the most delicious type of herbivores? And the most delicious type of herbivores are baby herbivores, right?
Because... Oh, you're a monster. You're a monster. You're a monster. You a monster.
I hear you, but we are going to find out what it feels like to play Jordan in his prime right now. Yes.
Right. So, you know, veal is way more delicious than beef. You know what I'm saying? Fucking, you know, Cornish hens, the little baby hens, they're way more delicious than the full grown hens. Like the motherfucking lamb is, bro, we don't even eat mutton. You know what I'm saying? Like you got to be like a fucking 13th century Viking if you out here eating mutton. Like, get the fuck out of here, Eric the Red. So I went with that, and what I decided was I was going to do slow smoke a baby Triceratops shoulder. Okay, and this is how we're going to start. We're going to start with a marinade, right?
Close. It's over. Podcast over. It's been, right? Jenkins and Jones, it's been a great show. It's competition to win. God damn. This nigga said a baby Triceratops shoulder. I can't even think like that, nigga. Golly. Go ahead. Right. Go ahead, nigga. Fuck out.
Okay, and keeping with the herbivore aspect of this, we're gonna lean into trying to get, you know, a grassy, earthy flavor here, right? So what we're first gonna do is we're going to marinate it. We're going to do a little garlic and herb marinade, right? We're going to marinate that for 24 hours. Then we're going to create a rub for it, okay? Now, usually, you know, with your pork rubs, you want to do, you know, 50% brown sugar, 50% salt. But we're, like I said, we're going for the earthy, grassy taste. We want to accentuate that here. So we're going to do a rub sage-based rub here, right? Okay? And then we're going to go with, you know, ground thyme, garlic, salt,
he's reading
powder.
Off of, nigga, he wrote a recipe!
Yes, I'm dead serious about this shit.
You got the heat, you gonna cook it on too, nigga? Shit.
We will be using applewood chips here, but we'll get back to that. So we're gonna go with a rub sage-based rub with ground thyme, garlic, salt, onion powder, cumin, some cracked black pepper, some smoked sea salt, you know, to bring out the smokiness, some smoked paprika as well, some cumin, a little dash of brown sugar to kind of accentuate the sweetness of it, and we're going to coat it with crushed rosemary. As I said, we're aiming for the earthy, grassy taste here. That's what we want to accentuate for this herbivore, this little baby Triceratops here. Okay?
You get and one then, you get one dish. That's it, bro. No, stop, bro.
I need to hear the other two. I need to hear the other
nigga,
two.
Bro, nigga, we can't go after this. We
you
can't
said you
go
wanted
after
him to go
this.
First. You
he said, that was horrible decision. Mike, why you let me do that? Go ahead, nigga. I don't like you right now, though. I'm going to say that.
All right. So we're going to slow smoke this for about, you know, 6 or 7 hours. You know, we're going to make a base of olive oil and butter with a dash of lemon juice. And we're going to use, you know, we're going to base it with a rosemary brush. Have you ever seen that? You know, when people use the rosemary brushes?
No, I haven't, Tyler. No, I'm a normal human.
You've never seen
what
that?
What the fuck? No.
We're
going to
use
no.
the rosemary brush because it really does add a difference. It really, you know, like I said, it brings out the herbiness of it all. All right, so we're going to do that. Now, you guys have had my pork shoulder. I don't cook it to the point of it being, you know, shredded like barbecue sandwich type. I like it to be, you know, tender, you know, like a steak type cut, right? So we're going to cook it until it's at that point of tenderness. And what we're going to do, see, I'm double dipping a bit here. Like, that's the star of the show. My second entree here is going to utilize that. We're going to, you know, dice up some of that shoulder. You know, we're going to throw that into some corned beef hash. We're going to make a little, you know, smoked Triceratops shoulder hash. You know, we're going to throw some scallions and some onions in it. You know, some, you know, we're going to get crazy with that. And then we're going to top it with a pterodactyl egg over easy with some cracked black pepper. So those are my three entrees. It's kind
Nigga,
of a
I'm
synergy.
I'm really hungry. I am hungry.
It's kind of a synergy of, you know, it's all revolving around the shoulder here, so. That's what I present to the judges for approval here.
Bitch ass nigga, you. That is beautiful, nigga. you had to go, bro. Mike, you got to go next. Come on, dog. Don't even throw me out there like that, dog.
You're gonna okay. All right.
Nigga, I really want that shit, dog.
I'm really furious. I can't order this
bro,
right now.
Like, I'm just supposed to go ahead and eat these three fried eggs like I eat every day, like, after I'm hearing this shit, bro. Like, nigga, what?
I'm gonna play the expert card here on Tyler's cooking because he has sent John and I both his pork shoulder, and God fucking damn it. That shit is so fucking good. And now I understand why, because you're doing shit to the meat I've never even conceived of.
You gotta make love to the meat, baby.
All right, fuck. So I don't have the knowledge of cooking that Tyler has. I do have a fairly good knowledge of dinosaurs. So I am going to start on a different continent. I'm going to do something that's more of an Asian cuisine preparation, because at the moment in paleontology, all the new species, all the interesting science is coming out of Asia, and more specifically China. But I have a Japanese dish I'm going to prepare. You're both familiar with fugu, the deadly poisonous blowfish that they prepare in Japan.
Yeah. And there's only like a certain section of it you can eat that's edible?
Yes. Yeah. And the poisonous part that produces the venom is more deadly than cyanide. So God there's damn. A great, the one of the best Simpsons episodes of all time was about Homer thinking that he'd eaten this part of the blowfish, that he was going to die. So I am going to do the neck meat of a Dilophosaurus, this around the part that produces the venom that they would spit. Mm-hmm. And I am going to do a fugu miso soup, which is an autumnal soup meant to be eaten when it's still warm, but it's starting to turn a little bit colder. And then I'm going to put some taro in there, which is what they do with the fugu soup. And then I will have some sashimi and some Cretaceous edamame on the side.
Shut
of
the
my
fuck up.
Fugu Dilophosaurus soup.
Okay, and a Dilophosaurus, that's the dinosaur that would put the little hood out and spit at you? Is that what
they didn't really have the hood? They didn't really have the hood, but they did produce venom in the way that, yeah. But
that's,
but
that's
yes,
the killed the white
in
man
Jurassic
in Jurassic
Park,
Park
is the one that ate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I be damned. Okay. You know, took us to, you know, a little Asian cuisine theme there. I like it.
The first dinosaur that was sort of acknowledged to have feathers was the Archaeopteryx, which is a flighted dinosaur. So I am going to prepare... John is furious right now. I'm going to prepare an Archaeopteryx adobo style and serve it on some jasmine rice with some... They had giant asparagus back in the Cretaceous, so I will serve some slices of asparagus stock alongside my Archaeopteryx adobo. And then I was operating on the same thoughts that you were about herbivores and sort of the difference between the lighter meat and the darker meat. The dinosaurs are more likely to be a darker meat because of the way that their muscles and the blood vessels were. But I am going to serve a Parasaurolophus, the way that I would prepare lemon chicken. I would get some breasts off of that thing. And then I'm going to
baste it. There we go.
I'm
going to
baste it.
Now.
It's going to be lemony and garlicky. And I'm going to serve it with some golden potatoes. And I'm going to put it on some angel hair, which is how I like to serve lemon chicken. And those are my three entrees.
I like y'all niggas extra as fuck. God damn, bro. Shit. All right. So I'm going to take you right around the corner to motherfucking La Cienega real quick. All
right. You ready some tacos out of this motherfucker?
Nigga, nah. Lemon pepper pterodactyl wings, nigga. You feel what I'm saying? I just felt like, you know what I mean? I like basic shit. I'm a regular nigga. I just want a big ass wing with lemon pepper. Make it wet, of course. Or maybe we lemon pepper wet. Not La Cienega. We taking you to motherfucking Atlanta at least with it. You know what I'm saying? So there we go. Lemon pepper wet pterodactyl wings. Also, like when I think of like the meats that are good, like I said, I thought of herbivores too. And I'm a oxtail ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? So I was thinking, like, I want a nice little stew with a stegosaurus tail. You know, I think the stegosaurus tail would be a fatty ass. I thought the neck, but I'm like, no, nah, I think the tail would be the fat meat that I want. You know what I'm saying? So let me get the stegosaurus tail, throw it in some soup and some oxtails. You know what I'm saying? Back that motherfucker up to the whip and drop them motherfuckers in the trunk. You know what I'm saying? And then... The last one, I had two. I don't know which one I want to go with. I do like ribs, and I think the Triceratops ribs will go crazy. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
I don't have a way that I'm going to cook it. But I think being that I've had like alligator burgers in New Orleans, I know the burger went crazy. I don't know how soft the Triceratops meat would be. Yes, it's fatty, not pork fatty. You know what I mean? And beef ribs are lean. I'd imagine that a Triceratops rib would be even leaner. You feel what I'm saying? So I'm going to go with the T-Rex burger. You know what I mean? Grind that motherfucker up. Throw some avocado on that bitch. Throw a Triceratops fried egg on that hoe. And get me, you know what I'm saying, a nice pretzel bun with that motherfucker. And I think, you know, I have motherfuckers wrapped around the door with that. I don't think motherfuckers paying $80 a dish like with y'all dishes. You know what I'm saying? But we going to make our regular ass Target nigga money over here. You feel what I'm saying?
There's no
Tarzay
question.
Shoppers will fuck with me.
There's no question that the person making the most money is the person selling the T-Rex burger. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people will wait in line for 17 days for a T-Rex burger. Like,
yeah, especially if you decide to use them little weak-ass arms that they never use in their life. That meat probably tender as fuck, bro.
I thought about them, but I think I would throw them in a stew. Like a pho, like a T-Rex, you know what I'm saying? Like T-Rex arm pho. And then crack the T-Rex egg in that motherfucker. Boil that bitch, you know what I'm saying? I had a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? Two of them. I want two. I like two eggs with my foot. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I go with the T-Rex arm. I didn't really think about grinding the burger up. You know what I'm saying? I thought, you know, if we grinded it up, we could use the other parts of the T-Rex. You know what I'm saying? So, but if I'm eating a T-Rex, it's got to be ground. It can't, you know, I'm not going to eat a slab of T-Rex meat. That shit probably ain't got no marbling in that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So that marbling, that ad, that make it real tender. You feel me?
Jackson, that's what, and I'm Adam, our producers for today, do we need to have a vote? I mean, you guys want to
just want to say that was beautiful, guys. That was beautiful. All of those dishes sound amazing. And Mike did a good job playing to his half Asian judge with the Asian, slant to his meal. But I mean, we can't really say anything other than Tyler at this point.
I have one thing to say. I have one thing to say. I don't know how John, after hearing what Tyler said, you can come in here and say, I'm going to get ribs. And to quote you, I don't know a way out of cooking. Tyler has this whole rug in detail, and you're saying, I want ribs, but I don't know
how. Give me them ribs. I thought we was just naming, I just thought they were delicious. How would I want them? I didn't think I was actually cooking the motherfuckers. I just thought we were naming dishes we wanted. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, you know, who is going to prepare what for me? Tyler, you know, his love language is cooking. You know what I mean? Yeah. My love language is eating. So our perspectives are different. You know what I'm saying? So
Tyler was cooking and John was ordering, for
sure. Right, you
feel
me?
And I was cooking for my kids because I just named basically three things that I make. So
well, if I was ordering one of these three menus, honestly, there's a chance I would pick Mike's because, like I said, I love Asian.
Yeah.
But Tyler bodied that contest like he was Bobby Flay coming in against like fucking some dumb Iron Chef challenger who thought he stood a chance. That was crazy.
Once you started off with the, well, the way you changed your persona once you started talking about cooking, like, all right, this is a different nigga, bro.
At his first sentence, I was like, I shouldn't have listened to John. I should have had Tyler go last.
But bro, I watch a lot of cooking videos. I consume a lot of cooking content. That's sort of like the type of stuff I watch when I'm not watching sports or whatever. I've never in my life heard of a
never,
bro. That's how I know. That's how I know Tyler's on another level, bro.
Tyler sent us pork shoulder through the mail, and that motherfucker was tender, like through FedEx, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like FedEx over that shit still was fire, like.
Oh, he sent us pork shoulder packed in dry ice.
Bruh.
You also know the minute that Tyler opened up his mouth, John just instantly regretted not planning this out beforehand.
The thing is, I had had two things. Like I had three or four things on my mind. Two things I knew I wanted, right? But I'm just thinking like, yo, what would I order at this motherfucking restaurant? I'm like, nigga, this motherfucker reading? Right?
I was, that's what tripped me out. I was hungry after this nigga, like, said, I'm like, dog, like, I gotta eat regular shit. I can't buy this shit no more. Like, that's it wasn't fair. I knew it wasn't fair, but now, like, I really know. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus
Jackson
Christ.
Adam, thank you for the easiest judging job anyone's ever done in the history of podcasts. Tyler, John, do you have any honorable mentions? Tyler, do you have anything else you were thinking of that, you know, like a dessert or a fucking appetizer or anything else? Do we have anything else we can throw out there? A whore's divorce, if you will.
A horse devours. The motherfucker. Hey, them Flintstone ribs. Can we talk about how good those motherfuckers looked? When I was a kid, and I used to see the Flintstones cartoon come on, and I'd see the part where those ribs tipped the car off. Like, God damn, the ribs look good as fuck, dog. It's like Flintstone ribs and like Ninja Turtles pizza and like Yogi Bear fucking apple pie, blueberry pies and shit. Those are like the best looking cartoon foods ever.
I think some smoked ribs would be like, what type of ribs were those? What triceratops ribs? I don't know what other brontosaurus. Oh, that's shit. Some smoked
triceratops
ribs.
I have a triceratops rib. I have a triceratops rib in the case in the other room.
Can you? Is it possible?
Go cook that motherfucker.
Yeah, you want me to get it?
Yeah, please, yeah. Please. He's like, yeah, you want me to get it? Of course, I ain't never seen no triceratops
rib. This dinosaur rib I have in my house? Fuck yeah.
Goddamn right, nigga.
I ain't never seen a dinosaur rib in person.
I cannot believe you, like, nigga. You why aren't you a chef? Like, that.
It's something I love to do so much that I wouldn't want to do it, make it my job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It might fuck up the vibe for that shit. But
that's pretty much like the rub that I use when I do like lamb shoulder and shit. So
yeah. This nigga just got to take the safari hat off.
The one that I want to nominate for honorable mentions that I think was a missed opportunity was Spinosaurus, the only dinosaur that spent time in the water. It's an one opportunity for like seafood dinosaur.
I thought someone was gonna say a mosasaur, like, you know what I mean, the big the shark ones. So this gives you a size.
Yeah,
of
exactly
the size of God, about man. Half of a triceratops rib. So you can see what I thought was interesting when you guys brought up the triceratops rib, because John is right that the they're leaner. But the ribs are so big, you could get lean. But there'd be so much meat.
So much meat.
Just because the ribs were so big. You know what I mean?
Just, yeah. The sheer size of the motherfuckers. Yeah.
I excavated that triceratops rib myself, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
That's a big dick drop. Big nut drop right there. You know what I mean?
Me keep it because it was broken. And so I had to use, they call it like paleo glue. It's basically a glue that's sticky enough that it'll stick rock together, because that's what fossils are, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you had to kind of piece a bunch of little pieces of that shit together.
Mm.
That was fun.
That was fun. Wow. Sheesh.
Tyler fucking... I'm actually angry I'll never get to taste what Tyler talked about for Barry.
Yeah. Now I gotta cook some shit, bro. I can't just do some regular shit today. Like, I was gonna get some pizza. Now I might have to throw some shit on the grill, dog. I'm hungry as fuck too now.
I'm absolutely amazed. I'm just in shock.
I have the vapors a little bit.
Right. I'm truly in shock. I just am truly in shock. This rosemary brush, nigga. The fuck, like, this nigga got tools. Tools for cooking, you feel me? This motherfucker could pull up with a case to your crib at the grill. You know what I mean? Like, sheesh.
That's all the time we have for Jenkins and Jones today. We will be back on Thursday. For those of you who've been following along with the book club, Clint Smith is going to join us next week. So get your questions ready and be prepared to email those in later this week. But thank you so much. Basketball just around the corner. We're really excited for that. And we'll see you guys on Thursday.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.